Have you ever heard the gospel song, I am satisfied, I am satisfied, I am satisfied with Jesus? But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Master satisfied with me? These three words, I am satisfied, is really a bold statement which I seldom hear anyone make, whether they be Christian or non-Christian. Have you ever known someone to tell you, I am 100% satisfied with everything that I have and that I am? I heard the story a minister told one time of offering $1,000 to anyone in his congregation who could prove that he was totally content and was totally satisfied and had no need or desire for anything. There was a young man in the congregation who stood up and came forward and stood before the people claiming that he was 100% happy and that he had everything that he needed and that he was totally satisfied. Then he turned to the minister and says, now give me the $1,000. The minister replied, just a minute. If you are 100% satisfied, then why do you want the $1,000? So you see, the man really wasn't 100% satisfied. He still had something that he wanted. I believe most all people spend their whole lifetime trying to satisfy their various desires or wishes or wants and needs. We talk about going window shopping, or we talk about looking through a wish book, or we claim people have wantitis. We seem to have a desire always for something else or something more than we already have. Our wants never seem to be satisfied. And all of us have heard the statement, the more you have, the more you want. And man thinks that the solution to happiness, the way to enjoy living, is to have more and more of his wants satisfied. A famous saying during Christmas or Mother's Day or Father's Day is just simply, for the person who has everything. Now, if a person has everything, then they should not want anything. But none of us seem to reach that point of the 23rd Psalm statement, I shall not want. Because as human beings, it seems we do always have wants. You might say our life could be summed up in just one great big want. A little girl one time was trying to quote the 23rd Psalm, and here's how she said the first part. The Lord is my shepherd, I've got all I want. Now immediately someone says, well, that's not the way it reads. And that's true. The little girl may have misquoted the 23rd Psalm, but really she got it theologically correct. It reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But really the words, I shall not want, mean I shall lack for nothing. To most of us, as we look at a phrase like I shall not want as a promise from God, dollar signs light up before our eyes. That is, to us, when you read a promise like that, it means that God is going to promise us luxury. And there are a lot of people today who seem to think that this is God's desire for all His children, and that is that you be prosperous financially and in material things. I believe the word prosper means that God desires that we be successful in our endeavors to be servants of His, and whatever is required to be a servant of His shall be supplied. But just to say God desires all of us to be prosperous in the sense all of us to have financial needs completely met in the sense of being a millionaire and so forth, I don't believe the Bible ever says that Christians are promised a millionaire's sum of money. There are many cases in the Bible, like Solomon, where someone was rich. But then on the other hand, you have people like John the Baptist and Paul and Elijah. They were not rich. And the poor man that was before the beggar before the rich man's gate, he surely was not a millionaire, and yet the Bible says he went to Abraham's bosom when he died. So the idea that we can have everything we want as a Christian is just not true. A lot of people say as they read this part of the 23rd Psalm, I shall not want. They think of their own life and look at all the things that they either do have or do not have, and they say, that's not true. That part of that promise is just nonsense. I do not have all I want, and I have prayed, and I have begged, and I have asked, and I have worked, and I still do not have all that I want. Another false conception a lot of Christians have is that the sign that God is smiling upon you is that you're rich. I remember one time I went to visit a young couple that had visited our church. And he was telling me of his success. That is, he was in a business and he was having tremendous success at the work, and there was a lot of money coming in, and he was buying swimming pools and airplanes, and on Sundays he would fly his family with an airplane club all over Texas. And he finally said, you know, God must not think I'm too bad, or he would not make me so successful in business. The Jews had this concept in the New Testament. If a man was poor and was having great difficulty, then it was God's curse upon him. If he was rich and having great success, then it was God's blessing upon him. This is not a true picture of how God decides whether or not a person is blessed or to be cursed. Material possessions do not necessarily indicate God's favoritism. Revelation 3:17 is a good picture of this, for a church had become rich. And here's what Christ says to his church of sheep. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor. I mentioned a while ago John the Baptist. He surely was not a man of great material wealth. He had camel clothing, and he had a very meager diet. Now, could he say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? What about Jesus? Now, surely Jesus could say that God the Father was his shepherd, or could he? Well, he had no place to lay his head. And then he really had very little he could call his own outside of probably one change of clothing. And when he traveled, he had to walk. He did not travel in some type of caravan that was loaded down with jewels and many changes of clothes. So could Jesus say, truly, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Do you ever ask, what were the wants of Jesus? Did God supply them? What about Paul? Paul says there were times that he was naked, there were times that he was poor, there were times that he was hungry, there were times that he was jailed, there were times that he was persecuted. Could Paul say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, he did say it, but he said it in a different way. Philippians 4:11. Paul says, I do not speak out of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, based on experience of so many Christian people, and based on the examples that we find in the Bible, the words I shall not want do not refer to ease and luxury in material things. Because many of God's children around the world today are truly lacking in material benefits and blessings. Many missionaries that come through our church recount of the needs and the wants that they have as far as material things go. But even amidst all of our hardships, we can still say, I shall not want. What did David mean by this? Now, keep in mind that David was a shepherd and that he was giving us this 23rd Psalm in light of how a sheep should react towards the shepherd and how a shepherd should react towards his sheep. The words, I shall not want, from the standpoint of a shepherd, has two meanings. First of all, David is saying, I shall not want as a sheep for good management. And the second thing David is saying, as a sheep, is I shall not want for vital needs. Let me say those again. There are two things that a sheep can say of his shepherd, I shall not want. Number one, I shall not want for good management. And number two, I shall not want for vital needs. In one instance, we're dealing with the wisdom of God. In the other, we're dealing with the ability of God. Now, David considered all the shepherds, including himself, and as we said in the first part of our lesson last week, he came up with the conclusion that God was the best shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want for good management. I shall not want for better management, for the manager of my life is God Himself, and I could find no better. With God as my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lose. I shall not be confounded. I shall know because He leads me what is the best thing for my life. Knowing the circumstances about me and around me, having the foreknowledge that He has, God then, you see, says, I can take care of you. I can manage your life better than anyone else in all of creation. You just leave your life to me, place your life in my hands, and I'll do for you what is the very best that can be done. If I can believe this as one of His sheep, that brings me peace, that brings me comfort, and that enables me, you see, to be content with the state that I find myself in right this moment. When you come to the New Testament, Jesus says of Himself, I am the good shepherd. Now, the word good implies that I am a good manager, not just a good provider, but I am a good manager. Some of the greatest difficulties we have as people is making wise decisions. We seek out this counselor and this advice and this person or that person, and God says, you shall not want for an advisor who knows the best advice. You shall not want for knowledge, for you ask of me, and because of my wisdom, I will tell you what is best for you to do. Jesus then becomes the good, qualified manager, shepherd of our life. And so as Christ becomes our shepherd, we shall not want for someone who can and will and does take care of every aspect of our life 24 hours every day. Nehemiah had this thought about God being a good manager when he said in 5:19, think upon me, O God, for good. He also said in 13:31, remember me, O my God, for good. Do you realize that all of God's thoughts about you and for you are good? He only desires good things for your life. The Bible is clear at this point. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, the Bible says, the Lord is good. Doesn't just mean He is a good person, but He's good to us. He's good for us. Psalms 105, the Lord is good. Jeremiah 33:11, the Lord is good. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. The Lord is a good shepherd, meaning the Lord is a good manager. Christ becomes to us our director, our advisor, our counselor. And through Him, we can avoid costly mistakes, avoid walking in the wrong path, avoid the wrong company, avoid the wrong activities, because He is constantly managing our lives if we'll only let Him. In Hebrews 13:5, we read, be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You notice that our contentment is based on our faith in Christ being a good manager as He stays with us and does not forsake us. Our contentment can only come if we obey and trust that Christ can be a shepherd for our lives. To be a good manager, one has to be wise, much wiser than the sheep that he manages. He must know what to do. He must know how to do it. He must know when to do it. He must know where to do it. The ideal manager is something all of us need. As we said in the first lesson, the word sheep implies we need a manager, because a sheep is a helpless animal always needing to be looked after. And Christ, therefore, becomes a good shepherd who says to his sheep, "You shall not want for good management." He knows what's best, allows what's best, and restricts from my life what would not be the best. Now, the second thing about this phrase, "I shall not want," concerns the shepherd supplying all of our vital needs. Now, the Bible says God knows your needs before you ever ask Him. He knows needs that you don't even know anything about. He said to His disciples, "Ask that your joy might be full." He does not delight in His children being sad. He does not delight in sheep that are starved. He knows we have needs. Now, a lot of times all we can think about is when we talk about "I shall not want" or our physical needs. And that's a great misconception. That's why so many unsaved people are not happy. There is a total man, body, soul, and spirit. And if all we do is cater to the wants of our body, we'll never be content. But our shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, says, "I know you have physical needs. And I know you have social needs. And I know you have mental needs. And I know you have spiritual needs." And where there are needs that need to be fulfilled, I'll guarantee you I can supply these. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for good care. Now, one of the problems that we have as Christians is that we can't decide between what is a want and what is a need. And I believe David really offers us some encouragement now in the remainder of the 23rd Psalm. Because as you go through the rest of this psalm, you will find listed here the legitimate wants of God's sheep. We find listed here the things that we can expect God to supply us. We often hear quoted from Philippians the text, "God shall supply all your needs from His riches in glory through Christ Jesus." I believe it would be wise for us in the coming weeks to match up the needs in Philippians with the wants of this psalm. So the remainder of this psalm really tells us the legitimate wants of God's sheep that God will supply. Now, as a sheep, again may I say, you shall not lack what you need. And what you need is based on two things. And again, I believe we need to learn this lesson. This is a principle that every Christian ought to realize, especially when you come to God in prayer. Every need that God agrees to supply has to be based on two things. First of all, what is good for you? And secondly, what is good for the shepherd? Now, every minute of your life, God is supplying some kind of need that you have, and both of these principles are used by God in that supply. Is it good for you, and is it good for the shepherd? The interest of the sheep and the interest of the shepherd must be tied together. The needs of the shepherd and the needs of the sheep must be linked. The wants of the sheep and the wants of the shepherd must coincide and be in agreement. You remember in Psalms 34:10, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You notice that is seeking the Lord shall not want. The Lord has wants, and those that seek Him appropriately take into consideration, "Lord, what do You want? And if I find out what You want, then I shall not want for any good thing, because the Lord will want the same good thing that I want. Remember the story of Joseph when his brothers came to him when he was in Egypt, and he filled his brothers' sacks with corn, told them to carry this back home with them to feed their family, and in addition, he gave them some provisions for the way. Now there is a glorious portion of blessing that God has in store for us when we finally reach heaven. But in the meantime, we have a journey to make. And the Bible says God gives us provisions for the way. In New York, a man one time came home and threw himself on the couch, very discouraged, very despondent, and said, "Everything is gone. I can't make any more house payments. I've lost my job. Our house has gone to pieces. There's nothing left." A little girl came up to her daddy and she says, "Papa, you have me left." And the wife walked over and put her arms around him and said to him, "Honey, you got me left." And there was a grandmother who was staying there at the time, sitting in a chair, and she reached up and touched his hand and said, "You have all God's promises left." The man realized that he did have something left and took new courage. The shepherd will not let his sheep down, though he will allow his sheep to go through trying circumstances. But in those circumstances, he promises that there is something good for that sheep and there is something good for that shepherd. God limits his supply to what is good for him and what is good for us. It's based on desire of what brings him joy and what brings us happiness. What brings to him a usefulness out of our life, and what will bring to us a usefulness from what he gives. I think it's important that we realize that when we come to God for a want, God in a sense says, "What are you going to do with it? What do you want it for? What's your purpose in this want?" If we do not plan to serve the Lord, if we do not plan to benefit the Lord, then that's not a legitimate need, and that's not a legitimate want. You see, the Lord says, there's something in my supplying your wants for you, and there's something in my supplying your wants for me. Now, if you have a need, I want to supply it. But in supplying it, I want you to use that benefit not just for yourself, but for me. You see, we're saying, "Lord, if you don't supply this need, then I can't supply your need. If you don't help me now, I can't help you. If you don't give unto me this thing that I'm asking you for, I can't produce fur for you. I can't produce wool for you," not fur. "I can't produce for you unless you produce for me." When you talk like this to God, you're on praying ground. And we come to God with our requests and our needs and our wishes and our wants and say, "Lord, supply these." And the Lord says, "All right, let's go through these. Will each one of these things benefit me? Will you use these things to serve me? If you need more money, will it be used to glorify me? What will you do with the things that I supply you?" And the Lord always has a return investment on his mind when he supplies the wants and the needs of our life. The shepherd always has in mind healthy sheep who will produce a healthy supply of wool that will bring him a return investment. The Lord says, "I will invest in my sheep, that my sheep will be able to invest in me, produce for me, and bring me profit." We become, as sheep, servants, not just to absorb, but to produce. And the Lord says, "You shall not want for whatever I feel you need for your life to produce for me the benefits that I need." When we're employed in the Lord's business, the Lord says, "You shall not want for the supplies to run that business." Now the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am satisfied with the shepherd's choices, with the shepherd as my manager, and I'm satisfied with the shepherd's provisions for himself and for my life.